This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5 reads this way. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and then, Lord, asking for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might worship you, and to fill our hearts, Lord, and to fill us, that we might honor and glorify you in your power and your strength, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would truly be highly exalted, that you might draw all men unto yourself. Bless your word, bless your people. May you be honored and glorified again, Lord, and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is simply, "The Lord is my helper." He truly wants to be the helper of all mankind. That's why he came and died, to give us eternal life, that he might truly help us, not just with eternal life, but also with a life that honors and glorifies his name and makes you and me a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy people, amen, to his honor and glory, that is in the world to point people to the Savior with the power of God. And so we thank the Lord for that. And really, this is the place God wants to bring how many believers into? All believers, right? So how is God going to bring us to this place? I am glad you asked. That's a good question, don't you think? God, how are you going to bring us into this place? Well, three thoughts here this morning. First of all, two things to remember. Secondly, the heart established with grace. And then thirdly, the work of God. The work of God. It is God's work to bring us into this place to where we see and can experience the Lord as our personal helper. He's not there to help me to do the things that I want. He's there to help me to glorify his name. That's really what it's all about. Not that I might be great, but that he might be great and truly the redeemer of all mankind. So we want to consider a couple of things this morning. And the first one, of course, is these two things that God wants us to remember. And look at with me, if you will, verse 7. He says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." Oh my goodness, the rule over me. That might be something scary. I want you to know that is not somebody who has authority over you and that you're supposed to follow, but they are simply the ones that lead out in spiritual things. The choice is always between you and the Lord, just like you came into it. Nobody ruled you into it. See, our English language is a little bit different than the original Greek. The idea here in the Greek is that they simply preside over opening up the scriptures and leading out in worship, but the choice will always be yours, whether or not you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not somebody that has the right to tell you to do anything. They just simply preside over the Word of God, not as overlords, but simply preaching the gospel and allowing the gospel to do the work of God, not man. Man can't do anything. And by the way, if you did it because of a man, it's going to be short-lived and powerless. But if you do it because God is sending you, that's a different ballgame, isn't it? If you're doing it because God has empowered you to do it, to be the witnesses of his great grace, then we're in a different realm altogether. And so he wants us to remember really the spoken word. And so he says here in verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you," what? The word of God. Remember them. They're just speaking the word of God. That's their position, and that's what they're leading out in. Whether or not you follow that is always going to be your choice. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their manner of life. When you see that word conversation in the New Testament, it's talking about many times the manner of life. Are they genuine? Are they sincere? Do they really want to honor and glorify the Lord? Or is it something that is just going to exalt themselves? Believe it or not, unfortunately, there are people in ministry today that are just looking to make a name for themselves. They're not really looking for the honor of God. You have some charlatans that have been found out that were exposed maybe via media, and it's amazing really that they'll if you just send them X amount of dollars, they'll send you a little prayer cloth, or they'll do this, that, and the other. And that's not what the Lord's talking about. What the Lord is talking about is empowering our lives to honor and glorify Him and to lift Him up. And so remember those that are speaking the spoken word, the word of God, that might make the difference in our lives. Verse 8, another thing to remember is that Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice this, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So remember two things, the spoken word and that the Lord never changes. So is God the same as He was in the day of Pentecost when the church was empowered? Is God still the same when He was turning the world upside down? Well, if God's still the same, what has changed? Amen. I mean, there's only one other alternative. We don't like to think about that, but maybe it's we are not maybe where we think we should be. Question, we talked a little bit about the Corinthian church. Do you think they were doing the right thing when they were saying, listen, oh, I'm of Peter. Oh, I'm of Apollos. Oh, listen, I'm of Jesus, right? And they were saying these things, and listen, they believed they were doing the right thing. And by the way, they did have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, and they were gifted with certain things to do, and they were doing those things. But Paul said, all that is rubbish without the love of God. See, we can do things and we can do them mechanically, but it's not really to the glory of the Lord. He says, you guys are yet carnal. And we know that carnality has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. So he says we need to consider that and get things right and lined up with God's direction for our lives. So let's look at the second thought here. And that is the heart established with grace. That is God's concern. When the Lord is our helper, we want to remember the spoken word that the Lord never changes. And then also that God, He wants to establish our heart with His grace. So look at verse 9. Notice what He says right here. He says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. There's a lot of crazy things being taught today. All right. There are people that are talking about how we ought to be keepers of the Sabbath. And there are people talking about how we ought to keep some of the feasts and how we ought to do these things. But you'll not find that in the New Testament. And that's what God wants us to lead because follow His lead in because He has fulfilled all those things through the Lord Jesus Christ that are in the Old Testament. And so He says, don't be carried about with divers or different kinds of strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be what? Established with grace. Where does grace come from? Does that come from yourself? Or does that come from God? It comes from the Lord, right? The grace of God. That the heart may be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Notice this, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Did you see that? They're stuck in the Old Testament. They're making bigger things. You know, there's groups out there that are saying they're the real Israel. And they're saying that the Jews are not the real Israel. Please, show me that in the Bible. God has not gotten rid of Israel. They are blinded, and God is going to open their eyes because He tells us that in Zechariah. They're going to look at Him whom they pierced and mourn as they've killed their own firstborn. So there's coming a day that God is going to reckon with them, and He has been chastening and has been dealing with them all through history. They're just not in the forefront of His honor and glory anymore, but He's not finished with them. Listen, God is not finished with those people He called Israel from the time of Abraham. Amen? And so so all these other people are saying, no, we're the real Israel. They're not coming from the Bible. Now, we are of the seed of Abraham, bless God, because of the grace of God and because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is still to deal with Israel, and that is yet future. So He says this, verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, this is the old tabernacle, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered where? Without the gate. So He's saying this was the great Lamb of God. This was the Lamb of God that would once and forever wash away the sins of all those who put their faith and trust in him. And so verse 13, because of that, he says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In other words, listen, the Judaizers are going to mock the truth. They're going to do that because they're lost, they're in spiritual darkness, and they don't understand. By the way, there are also other religions that teach different things, that you need this book and you need that book and you need this teaching and you need that teaching. And God wants us to know that if it's not in his book, it has no value and it has no warrant in our spiritual lives. And so this is important, and he wants us to understand how to have a heart established with grace. You're born by the grace of God, born again by the grace of God, but God wants us to be established. What does it mean to be established? Well, it means that it has taken root, right? When we think of a fruit tree that's established, well, it's bearing fruit if it's established, isn't it? If it's a young sapling that's just been planted, it's not showing a lot of things, is it? And so what happens is you stake it and you fertilize it and maybe you take care of it. They would sometimes dig around it and put Epsom salt in there to make sure that there was nothing plugging up the root system from bearing fruit. But they were all waiting for that one day where the fruit would be visible, amen, and to be enjoyed. And listen, spiritual babes, what is it that we know about babies? They require a lot of attention, don't they? They cry for this and they cry for that and they cry for. God does not want spiritual babies, amen? They cry for this and they cry for that and they're not happy about this and oh my goodness, this and that. Whatever this and that may be, amen? God says, hey, listen, I want to bear fruit in your life and then I want to bear more fruit and ultimately much fruit. And so, listen. If we don't see the fruit of God, the peace, the joy, the love, the long-suffering, all those things, we need to go to the Lord with those things. Because that is not, listen, that means we are not established in the love of God, in the grace of God. Wouldn't you say grace is unmerited favor towards the individual? Have you received the unmerited favor of God, if you're saved? Have you received his love? And when he forgives you, does he call it back to your attention? Does he say, so in other words, you say, oh Lord, I've messed up here. And then you bring it back to him the next day. Does he remember that, or does God put it in the sea of forgetfulness? Isn't that amazing? How about us? Are we keeping records and accounts of things that have happened to us by maybe even so-called Christians or maybe even carnal believers? And we're living in the past. You know what? We're not established in the grace of God. We're not established. Listen, our conversation should not be of anything that would be degrading or anything that would diminish or anything that would tear down another believer. Even if they were wrong. Because the Bible says the love of God covers how many sins? A multitude. All of them. It covers all of them. So what we do when we bicker, we complain about the failures and faults of other believers, truly, the love of God is not there, and we are not established in those things. Now, that is the natural. I'm going to give you a confession. Ready? I have done that. I have done that personally. But I'm here also to tell you that is not the grace of God. Was I saved? Oh, absolutely. Was God using me? Oh yeah, I was pastoring. And then I also held this opinion. This is what I think you ought to be doing, and if you're not doing it, by bless God, you're not right with God. Where'd I get that? I don't know. Somebody taught me that. And somebody taught that other preacher that. And then they put them in a seminary school, and because you got this little degree that obviously you ought to be, and God, listen, God does use people like that as he did the Corinthian believers, but they were not established in the grace of God. They were not growing in the grace of God. And God says, listen, that's the kind of people that I want. That's what I'm looking for, Peter. I'm not looking for you to run your own way in what you think. I'm wanting you to wait until you're endued with power from on high, and then you'll know what to do. Until that time, well, we just bless God, we'll just do this and we'll just do that, and this is the right thing. Oh, listen, there's no humility in that. Until we say, God, I need you to show me the way. We've got enough people going around saying, well, this is what we do and this is what we don't do. And this is, where's God? Where is the Lord? If we're not careful, we're out in front of the Lord saying, follow, Lord, we got it. We got it. Look, we're not going to do this and we're going to do this. Come on, Lord, you're way back over. You're not even walking this way, God. Will you come over here? And God's over there going, I love you, but I saved you. Follow me. And so we want to leave behind the works of the flesh. We want to leave behind the works of the law that we might be able to grasp and hold on to the grace of God. And so he says, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Is that what we're looking for, O Lord? That we might seek the one to come? Then we're going to look at the last thought here, and that is the work of God. And this is important. Ready? The very first two words says what in verse 15? By him. By who? By Jesus. By God. Not by our... Listen, that is the whole foundation of what we're going to look at. Don't forget by who. It's by God. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Do you see that? Listen, God doesn't even want you to offer a sacrifice of praise without him. And what does that mean? Listen, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise. Well, God is the one who will produce this fruit of praise. Question, did the Israelites praise the Lord for the work he was doing through Moses when Moses went and approached Pharaoh and said, let my people go? And Pharaoh didn't let his people go, but he told them, now I want you to make bricks without straw. Were they praising God? Or were they saying to Moses, look what you've done to us. If it couldn't get any worse, Moses, look what you've done. Question, was God working through Moses? Why was there no praise from the people of God? Because they didn't see the hand of God at work. They didn't understand what he was getting ready to do. But listen, and even Moses said, Lord, they're ready to stone me. Now, wait a minute. Do you think some understanding changed when the plagues were falling on Egypt? Do you think there was a little praise in the mouth of the Israelites the day they were liberated and were walking away from Egypt? Were they? Were they excited? They were excited. They were praising God. And until they were out in the desert without a little bit of food, right? Why? Why was that? And God was providing for them. Wait a minute. How about when the Egyptians were hot on their trail? And they were up against the Red Sea. And God opened up the Red Sea and they went right through it. And listen, good illustration. The Egyptians tried to do it. What happened to them? They didn't make it, did they? They were all wiped out. But the Israelites were not. So what did the Israelites do? We could do what they can't do. No, God did it for them. See, and I promise you, listen, they knew that at that particular point. And they were do you think they were praising the name of God when they got to the other side and saw the sea fall in on them and their lives were spared? They were really crossing that sea for their lives. Who was leading them to save their lives? The Lord. And what happened when the ocean, do you think they were praising God then? Absolutely. What brought that praise? Was it the effort and work of the Israelites or was it the work of God? Listen, you and I will not praise God unless God is doing something in our lives. And here's the good news. God wants to do something in our lives. He wants to glorify himself in the life of every believer. But here's the question. Do we want it? Do we really want the blessings of God? I'm not here just to take up the time of worship here. God is wanting to tell us, you and me, how to experience his great grace at a greater level. Amen? To a greater extent that will honor and glorify him and bring us to awe, which will bring us to praise. What do you think's going on in heaven to the believers who are at home with the Lord right now? Do you think they're looking at their watches? There's no time, but do you think they're looking at their watches? Do you think they're yawning at the presence of God? Or do you think they're like at awe? I can't even imagine what the new body feels like. And so every time they step back and they look at their new hands and their new arms, do you think they're praising God? Their bodies, what they have now is what you and I have no clue about. We can't even imagine this will be true. And I'll say, I was right. I didn't understand it back then either. But I have no clue what that's going to be like. I think it's going to be an exhilarating thing just to be alive in heaven. Amen? I think we're just going to be, And who will we praise for that? Because He did it. He created that new body. See, listen. God is wanting to bring us to that place. We're too busy over here going, Lord, where are you? Come on, Lord. This is the way to go. Look, I know what the Bible says. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And God's saying, this is the way. And His way is not our way. We think it is. And that's what hinders us. And so God says, call on me and I'm going to show you what? Great and mighty things. So let's look at verse 15. Ready? By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Do you know why it's continually? Listen, because it's God's will to continually bless you and me. It is God's will to keep us in that place of adoration and love and understanding. And listen, Paul, we were learning in Sunday school about how Paul was in the same predicament that everybody else was in for 2 weeks. And Paul was praising God. And Paul was pointing people to the Lord, wasn't he? But he wasn't doing it because of Paul. He was doing it because of Christ in him, and he knew that. And inwardly, look, Lord, look what you are doing. Praise your name, God, for what you are doing through me for these people to save their lives. So notice this, ready? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is what? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. Who bears the fruit? You or God? God bears the fruit, but it's produced through our lips, right? God bears the reason and the occasion for the praise. Listen to this. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know what he's saying? If that's not taking place, don't just slough it underneath the carpet and move on. God, something's wrong. I don't have continual praise in my lips. The truth is I have more complaints than praise. When you go throughout this week, do you walk with the praise of God on your lips that he's put it there? Not, oh, I can praise God. But is God causing the praise? Listen, when somebody does something nasty and unkind and even thoughtless in your life, does God bring praise because your eyes have been opened and they are still walking in darkness? Does God bring praise because of His mercy towards you and the mercy not received by that person? Believer or not believer? Because it's possible to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and be most miserable because there's no work of God taking place that He wants to bless and bring into our lives. Very quickly, notice. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And again, they're just ministering the word. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In other words, the minister is seeing what God is pointing us towards. And yet, we're hearing it, but we're not seeking it. And so no lives are changed. And then what happens is we still have the same complaints. We still have the same woe, and there's no glory to God. Listen, things come to my mind. I believe God brings them there. And I receive the message as you do. I receive it twice. I receive it as God is giving it to me. And I receive it again as I'm preaching it. And I praise the Lord for that. And I walk out praising God for that. And then somebody will come, and I'm not saying this church, but in the past, people will say things that I'm thinking, well, they surely missed that. They totally missed the message. Because the tenor of their heart was revealed by what they were saying or complaining about or angry about. And they missed it. Does God want his people angry? He doesn't want us angry. Does he want us to have joy, his joy? Does he want us to have his peace? So if we're complaining, that's absent, is it not? So if that's absent, what do we do about it? Unfortunately, in this day and age, not a lot. Now watch this. Ready? Verse 18. And then we're going to get to the focal point. He says, pray for us. For we trust we had a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored unto you the sooner. I want to come, I want to fellowship with you, is what he's saying. Now here's a focal point. We're going to look at these next two verses and we're done. Now, the God of peace, that's good, isn't it? The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have this picture who's doing the work? God the Father, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That brought from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Do we have this? Do we have this picture? So we have God the Father talking about the Lord Jesus and the blood of Christ, the holy righteous blood that changes everything of the everlasting covenant. Right? Do we see the focal point? Now watch this. Make you perfect. Who's making us perfect? Not us. God is. God the Father, through the Son, by the blood of the Lord. Make you perfect in most of your life, half of your life, some of your life. In every good work to do what? His will. But Lord, follow us. Listen, we know what to do. You do this and you do that and you help this person. Do you know that you can even do the right things without God? And God won't be glorified in any of it with no spirit, no humility. That's why God says you ought to walk careful and humbly with me. Or we're just like Peter. Oh Lord, though, listen, I know what to do. He did, didn't he? What brought him back? Do you know that the Lord was never done with him? Peter thought he was, didn't he? The Lord was never done with him. Praise God. And the Lord's never done with us. You still have time. And you're here because of that. Time to walk with your God. When is that? Right now. Listen what the God of peace that brought our Lord from the dead up again, who shed his blood and made the everlasting covenant with us, wants to do. Ready? Verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Listen. Working where? In you, that which is what? Well-pleasing. In his sight, not ours. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's God's will. That's God's will. May we be humble to say this. I don't know what it is. I need to ask you for it, God. Or we'll be like Peter. I got it from here, Lord. This is what we'll do, and this is what we won't do. We'll do this, and we'll do that, and we'll go over here, and we'll go over there. And God's sitting back waiting over there saying, now when you call on me, I'll show you what I want you to do. But we just think, well, we'll just do this and it'll gain this result. It might. But is it what God wants? Are we giving God and are we concerned about? It's time. It is time for God's people to say, Lord, help me. The Lord is my helper because I don't know. Ooh, that requires humility. Because we've never lived in a day and age where there's been more knowledge of this world and less knowledge of God. So, this morning, God wants to be our helper. Here's the question. Do we want it? Maybe it ought to be this. Do we think we need it? Do we think we need it? Or can we just do it on our own? And we might produce what we think God wants, but we'll never know. And chances are, if we don't know, it's not what God wants. It's what we thought He wanted. Because we must wait upon the Lord for Him to show us what He wants. And then the Lord will be our helper. And again, this is the place that God wants to bring every believer into. And we must remember the spoken word. We must remember the Lord never changes. We must remember that our heart must be established with His grace. And we must remember the work of God, not ours. So this morning, what is it that you want from the Lord? You might just say, I don't know that I want anything from God. Well, you'll get it. You'll get it. But if you want something from the Lord, He said, ask me. Because I love you. And I want you to have every good thing. If you'll just allow me to show it to you. Whet your appetite for it, and you won't be able to get enough of it. And God, listen, in the Lord, there's no end. There's plenty. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, God has filled my life with the greatest, the thing of greatest value on this side of eternity. What do you think is the greatest value in heaven? Is it not the presence of God? What do you think the greatest value is on this side of eternity? Is it not the presence of God? God wants to give it. Do you want it? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this opportunity we have to call upon You and to say, oh Lord, I need You. Not just every day, but every hour, oh God, I need You to work in my life, to show me Your will, to show me Your way, and to be found well-pleasing in Your sight. Help me not to be distracted by even the good things that are not sinful, but that would keep me from calling on You. I pray Your blessings on Your invitation to Your people. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may You show that to them today. And may You give us the privilege to show them the way to You, Lord, and believing on You for eternal life. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.